Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
So upon moving to Brighton, we silently agreed to enjoy the life of our new church at a slower pace. Yeah, right. But when God knocks on your door, though, it is hard to open it only part way. To answer him with a kinda, or a little, or a maybe, just has not felt right. We have enjoyed being active participants in the growing family of this church. It's harder than I thought.
We discovered through our involvement in the Through These Doors campaign to build the sanctuary that this is a go-to church. So much so that after we built the sanctuary, we had wide open space downstairs. We didn't have the money to furnish it. So guess what? Members of this church finished off that space. And that's when I realized, or we realized, that this was a go-to church. Because we didn't have biological family in this immediate area, this church became our new home when we joined in 1987. Seeing and participating in so many outreach projects, CROP, Appalachian Service Project, Cass Community Social Services, UMW, I mean, we could go on and on. But getting involved with these various groups, individuals, has been easy and heartwarming. We plan to continue our support through our time, talents, prayers, and financial gift. Thank you.
That was really terrific. Thank you, choir. And thank you, Terry's, for so many incredible contributions to this church. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, you guys. It's getting kind of emotional here this morning. I think the sermon's already being preached, so I'm just going to sit down. No, I so appreciate the stories that have been shared and what it means to be rooted in the faith and what it means to be invested in a community and what it means to allow God to use you to make the world a better place. I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who calls us to return your generosity with gratitude and faithfulness. Amen. As we begin this time together, I've been thinking a lot this week about grace and gratitude and this scripture passage. You know, it always kind of haunts me that we can't take the things that we accumulate in this life with us. We don't get to, you know, pack up a U-Haul and take all the things that we've gathered throughout the course of our life, bought and accumulated and collected. We don't get to pack all those things with us. In the ancient world, when they were burying pharaohs, they would oftentimes build these massive tombs, and they'd take all this wealth and all these material resources and just pack them in there. And the idea was that all of those things would go with the pharaohs into the afterlife. Well, needless to say, entire museums have been populated with the items that were left behind, and needless to say, when we get to the end of our journey, all we get to take with us is the spirit that we embodied throughout the course of our entire life. And on Saturday, I had an opportunity to do a memorial service. Actually, it was Thursday. I had an opportunity to do a memorial service for somebody who was 99 years old. And I was reflecting on how wonderful it must be, because her kids, her two daughters, were sitting with me in preparation for the service, and they looked up at me and they started describing what this woman had done through the course of her life, especially in the latter years. She had knit little tiny hats for newborn babies in the hospital. She had volunteered over 500 hours of community service in a hospital in Florida. She had crocheted a whole bunch of tiny little sweaters for babies in the hospital. She had created lap blankets for kids or for adults who are going through cancer and were entering into hospice care. And she said, one of their daughters said to me that my mom died with a smile on her face at 99 years old. I started thinking about that phrase. What does it mean to die with a smile on your face? Sure, she was uncomfortable. Sure, she might have been in pain. Sure, she might have been struggling with one thing or another. But her daughters interpreted that smile at the end of her life as a sign of the depth of her gratitude for the experiences that she had had throughout the course of her entire life. Her daughters said, at 99, she was ready, and she was thankful. She had finished her course in faith with gratitude and grace. And I found myself in this 38-year-old body thinking, when I get as old as she is, I hope that I have the same depth and experience of gratitude in that moment, that I can say thank you for the experiences that I've had. Throughout the course of our lives, there's turbulence, there's ups and downs and windy roads, and perhaps there are moments like David that we feel inspired to shake an angry fist up at God. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why is it that I'm suffering in the midst of this moment? Could you please take some of these issues away? Could you please separate me from the challenges that I'm experiencing right here, right now in this life? Those are all fair questions to ask, but I hope that all of us can reach a point where we're grateful in general for the blessing that is this life. Barb and Jeff, I can't thank you enough for sharing your stories about what it means to be rooted. Truly, you both are roots of this church with all that you have given. I just love that so many folks join the church and they have this experience where they say, like, you know, we're just not really going to join anything at this church. You're not going to win that one here. The invitation is always open, and it's actually, to be quite honest, not so much for us as I think it is for you. You'll oftentimes get out of your experience of investing your time and energy and resources the same thing that you put in. You'll find yourself building relationships and building friendships and building community and sometimes even building connections that end up feeling like family over the course of time. Over time, your life begins to be shaped and transformed, and I start to think about roots. And I imagine that part of the experience of being a root is looking up to the top of the branches, which is this not a beautiful time to go out for a walk and look up at the branches all throughout the communities that we live in to see the bright, beautiful leaves in the fall sky? They look up at the leaves and they see them with all of this beautiful color, and the leaves, I imagine, looking down at the roots saying, thank you so much for keeping us grounded in the midst of the storm. Thank you for providing a foundation that allows us to not be blown over in the wind. Yes, we're beautiful up here, but if it wasn't for you, we could never exist. When I think about being rooted, I think a lot about my grandfather, who is also a United Methodist pastor serving 40 years in the Detroit Annual Conference before we merged and became the Michigan Annual Conference. Some of you have had an opportunity to meet him. He's a wise sage. He's a lot smarter than I am. He's got much more experience and wisdom and all that 40 years of ministry has to offer. When I think about being rooted in the faith, I oftentimes think about him, because when I first started going to church, I had all kinds of wild ideas about God and about Jesus, and I would call him and, hey, Gramps, can we talk about this, that, or the other? And we would spend 2 to 3 hours, and still do to this day, talking about theology and the faith. And at that particular time, I admit, we didn't see eye to eye about everything. And he would just sort of gracefully, as roots do, say, wow, John, those are some interesting ideas. You know, there are other ways to see that. And he would gracefully let me pontificate about all these things I was learning in church, just steadily guiding me into a new place. One of the things that he said to me that has always stuck is, John, you know, Jesus was really able to impact the lives of 12 people. Of course, there were a few more than that, and women should have been included in that number, but I recognize that in that moment, what he was saying is, most of us United Methodist pastors, he would say, in ministry only get to really impact or change the course of somebody's life with about 3 people. And one year at annual conference, he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, John, you're one of my 3. Yeah, tears. I was and continue to be to this day so incredibly proud to be my grandfather's grandson. Walk in his footsteps, to hear him preach. He still goes to Redbird with our, you know, Redbird mission team. He has for the last 3 years. And even in his late 80s, he continues to go down there and help people. That's all he ever has wanted to do, is make the world just a little bit better for other folks. Like the men's group last year, he for years went up to camps in northern Michigan. It was called Camp Kinnewin, which some folks from our church have been campers at Camp Kinnewin. But he would go there and he would open up that camp so that students could come throughout the course of the entire summer and enjoy the spiritual experiences that camping ministries provide. I want you to take a moment to think about where your roots come from. Maybe it's Jesus himself. Maybe it's stories about him healing and loving people and approaching folks that others would seldom talk to or engage with or enter into conversation with. Maybe it's the example of Jesus getting down on his knees to talk to the children. He said, "Come, let the children come to me." Maybe it's Jesus's sacrifice that he was willing to set his sights on Jerusalem and totally cast off the lines of what he was hoping for and dreaming for in his own life. And he says, "Not my will, but thy will be done. If this is your plan for me, I'm willing to go into the city of Jerusalem. If this is what you want me to do, I'll stare down Pontius Pilate. I'll confront the evil powers of this world. I will go even to my death if necessary, if it means that we can bust open the social conventions of our time to change the world." Where do your roots come from? Maybe it's a church that welcomed you for the very first time. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher that looked you in the eyes and said, "You belong here." Maybe it's an usher or greeter that greeted you warmly every time you came to church. Maybe it's a person like Donna who always has gluten-free treats for young children. Not that I'm speaking about anybody in particular, but every Sunday morning, I'm like, "Joshua, Lydia, you want to go to church?" And they're like, "Are there snacks?" I'm like, "Donna's coming. There's going to be snacks. You're going to be fine. It's all going to be okay." And you have no idea what leaves are looking down at you. Someday, you'll be the person that somebody's telling a story about. Thelma mentioned the endowment earlier today, and we don't necessarily talk too much about the endowment here at the church. Once every couple of years, we've got a presentation that comes in and talks about legacy giving and how you can be a part of transforming future generations of the church. In our endowment fund, it's mostly been built up over time by legacy donations, folks who reach the end of their journey and they say to themselves, "You know, I feel like a portion of the resources that I've accumulated over the course of my life can be a blessing to somebody else." And some folks, at the end of their life, they decide to meet with an attorney and they decide to sequester or portion off a part of their wealth and they give it to the church. And our endowment fund has a principal value of just a little over $100,000. It's not big. It's not haughty. We're not going to build the Crystal Cathedral with it. We're not going to, you know, transform the entire world with it. But I want to tell you this. Over the course of the time that we were all at home during COVID, all of our meetings were online, and we went to the endowment fund and we asked them, "You know, in the midst of this time where so much is changing, would you be able to help us buy these small little meeting owl devices that allow us to meet and, you know, that creates a camera that sees in 360-degree panoramic view?" These little devices, which are very easy to drop, by the way, cost about $1,000. We've replaced it thrice, I'll just say that. Thankfully, under warranty each time. But the endowment fund, generated by people's legacy generosity, allowed meetings to continue to take place during the time of COVID. And I think there's something special about the fact that we bought these owl meeting cameras that allow people to see each other and engage with each other and make important decisions about the future of our church. I think there's something special about knowing that the wires and the plastic casing and the lens, which again is very easy to break, was provided by people who laid the foundation or created the roots for our church to continue to exist long into the future. I think most of the time we have no idea what kind of foundation or roots we're creating ourselves. Most of us, it's a complete and total surprise to us when somebody comes up to you and says, "Thank you so much for being my Sunday school teacher." And you might even be saying there, "I didn't even know that kid's name." And yet, they remembered how you made them feel. Maybe it's a prayer quilt. Maybe it's the fundraising that we did for the Vena Dental Clinic on Thursday when our houses divided, gathered to celebrate all that the Vena Dental Clinic did on Thursday. There was a massive tailgate party and several folks from the church were there. Many of you worked countless hours to try to create this opportunity to raise, you know, upwards of tens of thousands of dollars for the Vena Dental Clinic. I love telling the story about how folks can come into that clinic and for $25 copay get their dental cleanings and any procedures that they need to get done if they're low income in our community. How many churches operate and support a dental clinic that's been sustained for nearly 15 years now? All because Spartans and Wolverines don't get along. It's kind of fun to capitalize on that kind of tribalism. When Lindsay and I first came here, we do these stewardship sermon series, and I'm telling you, when you first go to a new church, your roots are kind of shallow, you know? They're like, we hope you all give generously to the church. We hope that we can sustain these ministries. We hope that we can go long into the future. But after a couple of years of seeing folks like Jeff and Barb who just like continuously roll up their sleeves, or Dave and Pat Moore the week before, folks who have invested in their time and talent and treasure in the church, to be able to be on several projects with all of them, you know, engaged in repainting small portions of the roof or the ceiling or replacing light bulbs or getting involved in UMW and all the missions and ministries that were named, it's hard for me to get through stewardship sermon series without crying in front of you or having tears coming down my eyes at this point. Because at this point, when we get to know each other, all that I can tell you is I'm filled with a tremendous amount of gratitude for all that you all do for this church. Thank you for your time and your talents, which, by the way, are so expansive. Thank you for sharing of your treasure. I want to share with you Jim Anderson's update. So every opportunity I get, I just like to let you know where things are at in the church. Throughout the course of the month, we've asked folks to return those estimate of giving cards so that we can plan for the year ahead of ministry. And we've received 151 cards for $489,000, which means that last year, compared to this time, we're 9 cards ahead and $51,424 ahead of where we were last year at this time. If you haven't had a chance to fill out one of those cards, I encourage you to do that. They're on the corner of the table back in the back. And what it will do is it will provide roots for us to be able to continue to lay a foundation of faith for future generations. I want to close with this. The first time I ever gave to the church was to a non-denominational church, which was giving me the theology that allowed me to argue with my grandfather on the phone from time to time. And I remember the first time that an offering plate went by that I even noticed, which was pretty well into my experience of youth ministry and going into church on Sunday mornings. And I remember I was working at the time in a restaurant. I was cleaning dishes, which that water's hot, I've got to tell you. It wasn't a fun job, but I got paid to do it. And it encouraged me to keep studying, is what I would say about that. But I remember watching the offering plate go by this time. It was the first time that I felt compelled to give, really anything besides time. And I reached into my back pocket and probably pulled out like a wadded up $5 bill, and I remember putting it in the offering plate, and I'd love to tell you that I was like excited to do so. I felt like I was being separated from life itself to put $5 in the offering plate. And over time, I went from what I would describe as a begrudging giver. Somebody was like frustrated. Why do they keep passing this thing? don't you know how hard I worked for this? I was 16 at the time, which also meant, do you know how many Cokes I could buy from 7-Eleven for this? To getting to the point where generosity has become a part of Pastor Lindsay and I's life, we feel like we've grown, and mostly Lindsay has pushed me to grow over the course of our marriage together, encouraging me to become less of a begrudging giver and more of a sacrificial giver. And I hope that you can join all of the folks who have submitted an estimate of giving card to get to a place where you too feel like you can put your roots into something. If it's not into this church, I pray that you can find a cause, something that you deeply believe in, that you can invest your time and talent and treasure in. The other day, I was in physical therapy, and I was meeting with the physical therapist, and I couldn't help but overhear. This is the problem when you're like always listening to folks. Somebody in the other end of the room, and they were talking about giving up on going to church. Radar goes up. I was listening to them. They started talking about some of the things that had happened. And for a lot of folks, real things happen in church that none of us are proud of. And sometimes they cause us to divest of our time and talent and treasure within the church. And I understand all of that. And so at the end of it, I said, you know, even if you feel completely disconnected from the church, I hope that you can find something that you believe in to invest your time and energy into. Doesn't have to be us. But if it is us, I hope that you put your roots deep in, and I hope that you experience gratitude, and I hope that you respond to all the good things that God has done in your life and in the lives of those around you, and I hope that it changes your life so that someday you can stand up here and be the roots that other tree leaves are looking down on, celebrating how much you have created a foundation for them to inherit. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. Anytime we're in a stewardship committee, I'm reminded of a story of a church I was at years ago. They wanted to open up a new wing for education rooms and stuff like that. The pastor come up and he talked to the congregation. He says, you know, last week we talked about raising money for this educational fund. Just thought I'd let you know. We found out we have enough money to do it. And everybody cheered. Because the problem is it's all still in your pockets. Now you know what to do. We have three prayer quotes this morning. Our prayer quotes are for Debbie Kane, Frank, and we're doing a retie on Arlene Edwards. So on your way out of the church, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let them know we're surrounding them with the warmth of the quilts and the warmth of our love and prayers. Now, will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. For all that you have given us, we bless your holy name. You have created all things, and you are the ruler of everything that exists. We praise you. We offer you our lives in faithful service. Enable us to seek your will, lest we fail to realize what we can learn through your grace. Enable us to seek your greatness and strength, and by your greatness and strength, secure us. By your love and faithfulness, protect us. By your wisdom and power, direct us in all we do, so that we may proclaim your wonderful works to all. We pray for our quilt recipients, Debbie Kane, Frank, and Arlene Edwards. Give them the strength they need to overcome the challenges they face. We want them to know that with your love and our thoughts and prayers, we wish them the best. May they feel the warmth of our prayers and the warmth of the quilts and feel peace and love. Reveal your goodness to all who need your strength and love today. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them.
to encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. To understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. To help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray this morning for those that are still suffering from the ravages of hurricanes, fires, earthquakes, floods, and other disasters in our lives. May they feel your love in their time of need as they fight the effects of these disasters and try to return to a time of peace and normal living. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises, in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share. In the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
I want to invite the ushers to come forward as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings. You know, it occurs to me that stewardship is not so much about giving money. Rather, I think stewardship is about giving and sharing who we are. And who we are is an accumulation of experiences in our lives, things we've done, things we've learned, things we can share. And sharing the money is a part of that, but only a part. So today we have a mission moment from one of our newer members. Come on up, Nicole. Nicole and Griffin Wright started coming here about a year ago, and along with their sons, Ian and Owen. And already they are making a difference, and Nicole is going to share with you her role on the accessibility team, but I want you to know it comes out of the experiences of her life.
All right, good morning. Yes, that very much resonated when you said it's impossible to not get involved, because it was less than a year ago that I first walked into this church, and here we are. There is one slide that can pop up at any point. There we go. All right, so my name is Nicole, and I am here today to tell you a little bit about a relatively new project. We just started meeting at the beginning of this year under the Church and Society umbrella. It is the Access for All project. And our mission is to make the church and the world a more inclusive, accessible place for people with disabilities. Whether that is a physical disability, a cognitive disability, sensory, that is a large umbrella, and we are covering all of that the best we can. What we have done so far this year, because we've just kind of gotten going, is a lot of observing, information gathering, just kind of trying to figure out where the needs are. We have gotten the opportunity already to jump in on a couple of projects. The building committee had some plans to do some bathroom renovations, and we very quickly jumped in and said, hey, let's talk about that. And if you've noticed the wave panels on the bathrooms up here, that is part of it. There's lots more coming there. Today, as a part of this Disability Awareness Sunday, we also have people working with both Sunday school during this service and Children's Message Next service to talk about inclusion, belonging, things like that. So if you've got kids or grandkids in Sunday school this morning, ask them what they learned today. I believe they did a tour of the church looking at what worked and didn't, at least during this service. So why are we here, besides just to tell you that we exist? Of course, we have a call to action. Would it be a mission moment without that? So first of all, if you or someone you love has experienced any sort of accessibility barrier, whether that is something from a disability you were born with or something you acquired through life, injury, illness, or just existing in these sometimes fragile bodies, whether that's a disability that is permanent and something that would be with you for the rest of your life, or something much more temporary, say a surgery recovery or things like that. If there's an access barrier, we're here to help, and we want to know about it and try and figure out what we can do to make it so that everyone can fully participate. Along those lines, you can get in touch with any of us. That's me. I see Julie and Libby and Devin are all here. We will be here during coffee hour. We also have some brainstorm sheets out there during coffee hour, so if you can't find us or you just want to write something down, stick them up there. There's all sorts of stuff out there. Also, we want to not only be a resource for action, but a resource for knowledge. So if you or a group you're a part of or a project you're working on wants to take a look at accessibility or disability issues or have a conversation about that, we are here to be a resource for knowledge as well as for specific action. So that is what we are getting off the ground. We are very lucky to have all the resources that we have here, and it's been a really fun year to get started on this. So that's our group, the Access for All Project.
Creator God, we thank and praise you for your almighty grace that pours over us. We are filled with gratitude and express our thanks in giving back to the missions and ministries in our church and in our community. Accept the offerings we bring today and use them to spread your grace. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, as you depart from this place, I pray that you'll take a moment to allow yourself to be inspired by the great handiwork of all the quilters of our church who have donated quilts for the quilt auction outside. As you depart from this place, I pray that you will remember that next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, so we'll be celebrating all those who have finished their course in faith. It'll be an opportunity for us to celebrate and remember their great gifts that they share with us in the church and the ways in which we hold on to them. As you go out of this place, I pray that you'll take a moment to talk with folks from the Accessibility for All group who are working so hard to make sure that this space is a space that everyone can participate in. As you go out from this place, I pray that you would hold on to hope in the midst of being bombarded with election campaign advertisements one after another. I got three while I was sitting here in worship on my phone. Perhaps you did as well. They all think I'm Andy for some reason. They can't even get our names right. As you go out in this place, I pray that you would hold on to a hope that's not rooted in the affairs of this world, but is eternal. The scripture from today said, "Do not store up your treasures here on earth where moth and vermin can destroy. Instead, place your hope, sink your roots into a hope that comes from faith in Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Presidents come and go, politicians come and go. They let us down, they inspire us, and everything in between. But this hope is not contingent upon the affairs of this world, so therefore be rooted in the faith. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen."
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.